I think I've learned more from this particular podcast today than I have in all of them combined. So, I'm leaving today with some really, really good things to think about. I'm going to make some changes in my scheduling and my pricing and my deposits. So I thank you both for that very much.
Welcome back to the Tattoo Guardians podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Today you get to hear from all three of us, myself, Joshua Carlton, and Hip, where we really bring up the discussion on bad days. And are you even really allowed to have them in our line of work? They come in. Who are we in the midst of them? In all types of perspectives and tactics of what we do in the midst of them, and even how to pull ourselves out of them. It's this and more on today's episode. Let's get it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Tattoo Guardians podcast. Today, I'm accompanied by my two co-hosts, Mr. Matt Klemmer and Mr. Joshua Carlton. And I am HIP, H-I-P, Help Inspire People. Yeah, fancy. I'm getting creative. So, yeah, guys, I brought up today's topic and it seemed fitting due to when I first started tattooing, I just loved it so much and dove into it. One, I was making peanuts, and two, I never really had any bad days because I loved what I was doing so much. But since I've grown, my craft has gotten better. I've become more passionate about what I'm doing. I have found out that it's perceived that we're not allowed to have bad days. And what I mean when I'm saying that is, like, I've witnessed coworkers call off because they've been sick and the client's getting upset. It's happened to me a time or two, almost like, you know, we planned to catch a bug and not show up to kind of play hooky at work.
Right.
And I've noticed, like, the higher we get in this world stage and social media and word of mouth, that we're expected to perform 100% of the time at 100%.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the scary things about tattooing is, you know, you have to be so ready and perfect all the time, you know, like, it's permanent. So here we go, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for just to be clear for our listeners, you want to talk about tonight, what do we do when we are having a bad day?
Man, like a whole range of things, you know. Me personally, I'm looking for relatability, trying to draw experience for myself, and also, like, some of the rituals that I get into that, you know, even on days when I'm not sick, I'll wake up and just maybe not be feeling it. Maybe I've signed up for a tattoo that now I'm kind of like regretting signing up for, but I have to show up. I have to perform. Maybe the fucking cat ate the dog and I'm dealing with something personal and I can't bring that in, you know. Me and the old lady got in a fight and I'm showing up to tattoo a dead child on the mother, you know. I can't bring in my problems, although they may be valid. I still have to perform at a professional level and have compassion and empathy and actually celebrate and enjoy the tattoo, man, because I tell you, there's nothing worse than a tattoo artist showing up in his feels and just it just
and then
ruins.
Everybody feels it,
dude. Everybody.
Have you know what I'll notice for me is, like, I'll be excited to do a tattoo and I'll be set up and everything, and then the client's 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, you try to text them, they're not answering back. At what point, are you like me where there's a certain point where you're like, well, I don't even want to fucking do it anymore. Like, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to be 30 minutes late. And you're like, guess who's going home, dog? You know what I mean? So and I try not to do that because I do love tattooing and I want to honor tattooing and I'm so excited to be able to tattoo. But I have this weird thing where, like, a lot of people have this, you know, have the waiting list. So, like, if they show up at the shop and it doesn't work out, they just call somebody on the waiting list. I go home. You know what I mean? And that's probably because it's been so long. I've tattooed for so fucking long. I think it's about 80 years now, you know, Nosferatu. But I did used to do that. I used to call people in, you know what I mean, on the waiting list, especially if it was a good friend or something and I could just kind of tattoo what I wanted to. But Do you guys hit a wall like that? Like if they're going to be like 45 minutes late, are you kind of over it? Or are you just kind of just hang out?
Man, so for me, I like to, I don't know, I try to stick to a schedule outside of tattooing. So that way, maybe like karma blesses me with a schedule during tattooing. And now I get, you know, running behind. We're right beside another tattoo shop. I've had clients wait in their waiting area for me, only for them to be like, nah, it's down, it's right next door. So like, I understand life happens on life's terms. Right. So I try to be somewhat lenient, but also I do take a hefty ass deposit. So if they start jerking around, they're out $1,000.
Yeah. Is that you take $1,000 deposit?
Oh yeah. Yep.
How so let's talk about that for a minute, if you don't mind. Like, when did you decide to do that? And are there some like sticker shock, like in those initial emails? Are they like, whoa, 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 you know? That's a good idea. I think it's a pretty solid idea. Like, if you're going to be spending the money anyway, you know what I mean?
And right? you can't give a deposit back if you already spent it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, but
I take a $250 deposit, you know what I mean? And that just always seems standard to me. But $1,000 sounds a lot, to be honest, a lot smarter. I'm lucky I don't have many no-shows at all, but when it happens, I mean, hey, you know.
Yeah. And see, with a name like yours and the credibility you've had in the building of your self-worth and value throughout the years, it commands that respect from people to not no call, no show, although it will happen from time to time, no matter who you are. But for me, I've kind of learned early on, maybe 4 or 5 years into tattooing, you know, thanks to this man here, has done a lot of like mindset changes, with me in money. And it's a form of like seriousness. Like, how serious are you? Cause if you're serious, I'm serious. And you know, I tell people, if they give me 72 hours to cancel, or then that's fine. I'll roll the deposit over. And you know, I'm lenient if someone dies, or discernment will kick in a little bit and let me know, like, if someone's bullshitting or not. Cause there's been times where I've been in a very scary position. And what I mean by scary is like, I felt something was off, that this person was like, well, I need it because so-and-so died out of state and we're flying. And for whatever reason, before I could even think of what I was going to say, something spoke for me. And it was like, well, you know, I'm sorry, but the deposit's non-refundable. I got to hold true to my integrity. And come to find out, this person was like, well, that's fine, that'll work. And they showed up and I tattooed them, got half the tattoo done. And as we were walking out the door, they said something along the lines of like, man, you know, you do charge a lot more than shops around us, but my buddy was trying to get me to go to so-and-so, and I'm glad that I didn't. And right then, something dung in me. It was like, this dude was just trying to get his money back to go to somewhere else cheaper. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I've already blocked off. Now, I'm blessed to where if someone does fall off, I can fill a spot if need be. I also don't even have to fill the spot because like everything's so great right now. So I have that option. But the fact of the matter is, it's like, it's my time that I've set aside for you. And, you know, you're going to try to fall out of integrity with me on some like shiesty bullshit. And like, I'm trying to weed my garden of any and all of that. So for the most part, people do show up, but I can kind of feel like if they're being authentic, and if they are, I totally understand. And I'm compassionate with that, because $1,000 is a lot of money just to give somebody,
which is why you make all that real clear of before you even take it, what they're signing. You're not taking shit. They're giving it to you. And that's not only securing that they get to sit in your chair, and so that you've actually decided to take them on as a client. And of course, the deposit all goes towards the tattoo. Mm-hmm. It puts some respect on it, like you were saying, Josh. If you're already signing up for a $2,000 tattoo to put half down on it, shouldn't matter if you're for real in. But we're not desperate. Hit didn't need to take that guy. That $1,000 is reaffirming to Hip that he's worth Hip fucking with.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But you clear it before you take it, so they know this deposit, what it's for, what it's going toward.
Surprises. Yeah,
that's right.
And not only do, because I'm still feel that I struggle with communication from time to time, but it's so much to the point now. And this was like a whole growing spurt. But now if someone reaches out, I get their email, I send them a text. Hey, this is Hip, my private number. Do you have 10, 15 minutes sometime to schedule a courtesy call? And then we schedule the courtesy call. And from there, I go over my pricing procedures. Like, I got a whole spiel, that I tell them so that they know even before they waste their time coming to me, like what it is and what they're going to look at. Mm-hmm. And I always tell them that, like, I'm making this call ultimately to give you peace and to find out if we're a right fit, because a lot of times people will come to us thinking they're interviewing us, but someone that holds themselves to a higher standard and knows how they operate are actually interviewing the client. Not saying that, like, I'm better than or whatever, but I know, like, time is the only asset that we never get to make any more of.
100%. Yeah. That's powerful for sure.
So yeah, from the phone consultation, then it goes into the in-person consultation so they can put a face with a name. 'Cause dude, I tell people so much, like, make sure you and your tattoo artist click. 'Cause there's nothing worse than sitting down with a dickhead that's putting you in pain for fucking 5 to 8 hours. And then you got to pay money afterwards. Yeah.
And it goes both ways. So, you know, I don't know about you all, but you can be the baddest fucking artist in the world. But if you're an egotistical asshole, I don't need you touching me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I've got a lot of average tattoos from fucking great men and women. And I love it because of the person that gave me the tattoo more than their portfolio. Now, we're blessed to know both. We know great people that are great artists, you know. But on the flip side of that, we know that if a client's an egotistical asshole, I don't want to impart my gift and energy to them either. Even if I can still see the good in them, that's why the initial, what he calls a courtesy call, what I call a discovery call, is we are discovering, oh, is this the right fit for both of us?
Right.
Once we get that clarity, it's game over. Now, who we are and how we operate is so settled before we ever talk. That's why it's easy. You know, he didn't just take $1,000 deposit from that one guy because of what he was doing on that one guy. He takes $1,000 deposit for anyone. Mm-hmm. And he knows his rates, who he is, how he operates on a random Tuesday 5 months from now. And so that's when it gets easier to be clear and communicate, because who he is doesn't change.
Yeah. I think I'm impressed with that. I've learned a lot from this myself, because a problem that I've always had, one, my whole life I've had a confidence issue. So even after I became, like, you know, any kind of known in the industry, I still never valued, honestly, even to this day, my time. I don't value my time properly. It's something I do need to work on. I think the phone call idea is brilliant, because that would have saved me. You know, you've heard me in the past say, like, oh, I'm so excited I learned that, but I wish I knew it yesterday. That just happened to me right now. It just happened to me during this podcast. Like, starting tomorrow, I'm going to start courtesy calling my clients, because the stories I've told you guys already about having to fire clients, that wouldn't have been a client, because on the phone I would have been like, red flag.
Come on.
We don't play well together.
That's right.
So thank you guys. That's awesome. That's fucking awesome. Dude, I'm excited, you know? Yeah.
Thank you for saying that you struggle with confidence, because never in a million years would I thought the Joshua Carlton struggles with confidence. Yeah. So I know that has to hit across the board with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I just appreciate you sharing and being vulnerable enough to share that, because, you know, vulnerability is a spiritual principle, and it never really feels good when you get vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially in this industry, you know what I mean? The tattoo industry is ripe with people just standing up and toughening it out. But I think it's good to talk about our issues. I think having bad days is a great topic for today, because I just had one, you know, I had a bad day and it comes from confidence. I had a, huge fan, somebody that's one of those people that, like, comments on all of your posts, always, you know, just, they're always there. They're always supporting you. Fantastic artist, come out to get a tattoo, super excited, really put me up on a pedestal. And I just feel like, the tattoo's beautiful, but I nitpick it so hard because this guy put me on a pedestal that I talk myself out of it, basically, into, like, it's not good. You know, to the point that my wife is like, you got to stop looking at the pictures. You got to chill out. Like, it's been 30 years. And I know people like to think I just wake up and put on my hat and go make badass tattoos, but it's not the case, man. I struggle and I think about it. And I go ahead.
If you can be honest with yourself, When do you think that really started to happen in your head? And did it start when you were during the tattoo, or it really didn't start till it was done and now you're looking at it?
What happens to me often is first quarter of the tattoo, I'm like, I think I'm good. I think it's going to be okay. And then it's like, ooh, this is fucking beautiful. And I usually share that with my client. And yes. 99% of the time I leave with them, me feeling good, but I get a shitty picture. I just get some shitty picture. So that's the only memory I have of it. And I'm looking at it upside down and I'm making it black and white, you know, and I'm like mistaking their red skin for me doing something. I don't know. I just beat myself up to a fault for sure. It's good to be realistic and sober with yourself. But I will definitely, I had a bad day because of myself, basically. You know what I mean? So, you know, like same thing. I just spoke to the person, healed absolutely awesome, looks amazing, beautiful tattoo. My 30 years work shows through, but I just trip myself up. I do the same thing when I write music. I do the same thing, you know, when I draw or paint. Like I've like worked on paintings before, jumped out of bed at 4 a.m. just to come down and look at it and make sure it's not garbage.
Like, dude,
you know, it's like, I think it's the artist. I think we all have it to some degree, but it can be debilitating. Yeah, it can be debilitating. And I would love to sit here and say, hey guys, I figured it out and I got the answer for you. But that's why I'm talking to y'all. You know what I mean? I'm hoping that we can collectively figure out how to make ourselves shine a little brighter, you know?
Well, like that question that Matt asked, like, do you remember the exact moment? It's funny because like it just triggered me to remember, like a lot of times I will underplay a tattoo or be overconfident of it and then get to like the final touches and just fucking wreck it, dude. Yeah. And it's happened multiple times. Oh, and it was like all because I just felt so confident in it, and I'm just this jamming the music.
I got this one.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Done this 1,000 times, bro. You're all right. Just chill. And, man, I will fuck it up. And, you know, for a client to tell me, or for anyone to tell me, like, was the client happy? And I'm like, well, yeah. And they're like, that's all that matters, is the same thing as like sleeping with a chick and she tells you like it's the right size for me.
Right.
Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. I think all three of us are that way. Like, I don't need you to fucking baby me or hold my hand about it at all.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the worst thing is if I'm like, yeah, that sucked, and someone's like, it was good, I'm like, don't fucking do that to me. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're like, we both know it sucked. It's cool. Tomorrow's a new day. Mm-hmm. I hate that coddling shit, man. Yeah, it doesn't do any good for anybody, you know?
No, man.
It really doesn't. Man.
You know, yeah, I was just saying, you know, like, you know, I had to like the next morning go, you know, get up and go to work, and I couldn't take those feelings with me. You know, speaking of how you can't really have a bad day, I can't put that on my next guy that, you know, is getting, you know, huge tattoo. You know, this is his day. This is his time. You know what I mean? Yep. So I think that's important for sure.
That shit spills over, dude. Now you just got like a monstrosity that's just running loose in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in the same vein, if you carry that shit, then let's say the tattoo you do on him actually technically is so fucking sound and amazing and it's a good tattoo, it won't ever be as strong because of the energy behind what put it in.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. For sure.
It matters. But back to like, what do you do when you ain't, when you're having a bad day, but the day it hasn't begun yet? Because I think that's what we were talking about.
So, So you're saying like even before you step foot in the shop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's one that we as artists, and I think it's a part of our curse of wanting to be the best. We can rip our own ass after the fact. But really, I think the topic you're wanting to hit is, what about when we're fucking having a bad day? And it's valid because all this shit's going on, but the day hasn't begun yet, and you're signed up for all these commitments or this tattoo.
Well,
fucking what do you do?
And I mean, like, all this totally falls under it. But yeah, totally. Like, I want to pick your guys' brain, too, on like, okay, the perfect storm. You and the old lady are on the outs. You show up to work and come to find out everybody at work is on an empty fucking tank. Like, how often does that happen where just nobody's feeling anybody and no one wants to be there? They're all doing tattoos they're not feeling, or they fucking rush the design.
I feel bad for the listener. It's like every day.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah. And then not only that, but then Murphy's Law kicks in. So like your client's passing out, moving, you know, you ever deal with those clients that like you tattoo them and when you go to re-dip in the ink, they got to like look to make sure their tattoo's still there. And like, I'm passive aggressive. So I'm like, it's still there, bro. You're good. And they're like,
I had a guy bring him a fucking mirror. He brought a mirror from home and he just sit there and he was just like,
oh my God.
Like, you know what I love to do whenever someone's, if I'm tattooing somebody and they start asking me a lot of questions, I just hand them the tattoo machine. I'm like, you got that shit all figured out, dog. Go for it. You
know? Hey, what kind of magazine is that you're using?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Just hand them the machine and be like, you got it. You show me, you know,
man.
But yeah, like, you know, I just think it's important to, I repeat this a lot, but realize how incredibly fortunate we are to be tattoo artists. And so if you're having this bad day, look at this tattoo that you are going to go do as an opportunity to, you know, reignite that love for tattooing and turn that day around. You know what I mean? Like, at least attempt to, what I mean? Like, just attempt to turn that away. You know, you're making some good money. You get to draw on people, you get to do something awesome. You know, this could be what you need to get out of that bad day.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
man.
Because Murphy's Law, Matt and I have been talking about this a lot lately. Murphy's Law is a fucking real motherfucking thing. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I remember shaking up a bottle of ink, talking to my client and seeing them kind of look at me weird. And I look over and it's just fucking squirting red ink. Out the fucking, I remember shaking a bottle of ink and it flipped out of my hand and went and just fucking right in this woman's crotch, just like right between her legs. I'm like, yeah, you can get that. You know, it's like, you know, I haven't even started tattooing yet and this shit's happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm already coming off a bad day. I can't even fucking shake my, you kind of get that. I can't fucking do anything right. You know what I mean? Like
knock my rinse cup over everything.
Oh my dude, that happens every time. Like I'm just boiling or I start to get livid and like my rinse cup's like, well, here, take this bitch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was at a convention and I was like super stressed because it was like early on and there's all these badass artists around me and I was making the stencil by hand the way Matt and I talked about we used to do it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and everybody's trying to talk to me and I'm like 30 minutes into the stencil and I realized I was on the wrong fucking sheet and I didn't.
Yes.
All that was wasted time and I'm just like, you know, I will fucking work at Walmart. Fuck tattooing. You know what I mean? It's just like,
oh my God.
So we've all been there, man. It's just, you gotta get out of your head. And I think that's one of the hardest things. Like, you know, like I'm pretty good at talking to my clients. Like I want to sell the experience. You know, I want them to really feel the whole entire experience of getting tattooed. So I don't throw on headphones. I don't think there's anything wrong with tattoo artists that do that, but I don't think you're selling them the experience as much. You know what I mean? But, in fact, I had a client yesterday that she wore headphones and I didn't know what to do because I'm so used to talking to my clients and it was just so quiet in the shop. You know what I mean? So I just interrupt her podcast. You know what I mean? And be like, so COVID, huh? You know?
Or you just look at her and then you start moving your lips. And when she takes off her headphones, be like, just keep not saying shit.
Yeah.
Man. So in the process of like aisle 9 coming to fruition, there was, I was learning a lot. I was doing lots of seminars. I was watching lots of videos. I still emulate that today. But I feel like I've gotten a better grasp on like, I don't know, let's say skin tones for whatever reason, they always give me trouble. But, you know, Murphy's Law would take effect. I'd sign up for a portrait and, you know, I've got to study and look and I'm tattooing in the same city as Klimmer and Cotterman's and it's a lot to bear. So like I'm trying to fucking kill it. And back in the early days when Matt used to be a tattooer, I could do these like tap-in sessions, meaning like I would just be struggling, dude, riding the struggle bus and I wouldn't know where to go or what to do. And I could like take a smoke break and pull Matt aside and be like, dude, I'm fumbling, man. I need some help. And he would sit in and maybe correct some of my mistakes and I would stand over him and learn. Or it would be enough to give me a break to like go and just fucking chill for a minute and get back. And in those moments of chilling, it's funny and it's like super hippy dippy that I'm saying this, but I watched The Secret and I always used to carry a gratitude rock with me and I would like be fumbling around in my hands and just trying to get back to being centered. Like you have to do this. Like one, they signed up with a tattoo for me. And, you know, of course I build value. This is my mentor. You know, he's a great guy. Every aspect about me you like can be attributed to him. But you know, we'd work some kind of spiel out where we just build value and he'd sit in.
Tee me up to throw me in so they don't feel like they're getting tossed down. They're getting tossed up.
Right.
Or equal to. Yeah. Or,
yeah. So those were helpful. But along the line, I had to realize, like, there's going to be times when you ain't got fucking your homie there to hook you up. So you've got to perform and perform well and then not have any tells or any showings. Mm-hmm. So that's happened, you know, in a few times in the past couple of years. And it's to the point now where I feel confident, or when I run into those bumps in the road, I can give myself a minute to pause and kind of like configure and reform a structure or a game plan to get me the ways through it. And I notice a lot of that. It comes down to like 30 more minutes of tattooing or an hour more of tattooing, and your back hurts, your mind's fucked because you've been doing quantum physics for the last 8 hours, your client's got halitosis, and you're this fucking close from his body, so your eyes are cross-eyed, but you got to put in that extra half hour to just bring it full way through to fruition. And it's like, there's been times where I've actually cut corners, and what that's done is created two more corners now.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that regret, when I go home and I look at it, now I'm, my bad day is now spilt back over to the house, and I'm neglecting being present with my wife and kids or anyone I'm hanging out with or whatever I'm doing, because I'm obsessing and compulsing and I'm just beating my own ass. Because if I would have put that extra hour in on that tattoo, this won't last the rest of my life. There's still tattoos that I'll just pop into my head and it'll be like, hey, you remember when you shortchanged this fucking thing? Well, the client was happy, and I'm like, yeah, but I'm not, and I'll never be about it.
Yeah. And I think I feel like I'm guessing we're all to some degree, some level of that. Are you, Matt?
Some level of what exactly?
Like, just, do you beat yourself up quite a bit as well? Like, maybe not as much as Hip and I, but.
Absolutely. And mine isn't just limited to what I just did in their skin. Mm-hmm. Mine oftentimes is how I occurred or was trying to bear fruit in an area and shit just wasn't landing, you know. So yeah, I believe anyone that wants to be great, you know, are tough self-critics.
Yeah.
Again, to the detriment, this is why, you know, but something you mentioned, you know, you just mentioned a little bit ago, your bad day, you were almost taking responsibility because of your headspace. Like either you created it or you made it way worse. And that's where we got to like get back on our own team. It's something you mentioned in a previous podcast of someone, the next 5 years is going to go by regardless, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same with our day. If you're signed up for a tattoo, you got in a fight with a wife, you're not feeling it, you're just feeling depressed, whatever. But yet you've got the next 8 hour session that you're already committed to. They gave you $1,000 for it. It's the next 8 hours is going to go by regardless.
Exactly.
So what are we going to do to get our power back? Yeah. Because when we're offended, when we're upset, when we're fucking pissed, we're losing our power. We're giving our power away. And it's our responsibility to do whatever, the one of 100 things we can, at least, like you said, to try to take our fucking power back. And so, yes, maybe the days of him being able to have the luxury to go tag me in so he can go out on the back porch and be a baby, you know?
Yeah. Wouldn't that fall under commitment? You know what I mean? If we're committing to that. If we're committing to taking that $1,000 and promising that 8 hours, don't they deserve our best?
That's right. You know? So what do we do when we feel like we don't have our best? Like they deserve 100% of me. I'm showing up on 25% now. Right. What the fuck? You know, because it is a real thing and it's a real situation. But even in that, who we become in that moment can make or break it. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but in the times where I was never able to pull myself out of it and I just fucking pushed through and went through the motions, and they were more annoying to me than what they would have been if I was rolling at a 100 later on, even if it's weeks later and I'm no longer in that bad space, I'll think back and kind of feel bad, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I've definitely done that.
Trying to prevent that. And so this is where it's still good to have one another, because yes, even though I don't, you know, if we need to take a break, we'll take a break. And yes, I can't go tag someone in, but I can step out and call a brother on the phone and be like, man, right, I just need to talk to you for 5 minutes because I'm fucking struggling, everything, Murphy's Law, blah, blah. To call someone that's not stuck in your world and headspace to first listen and then B, help fucking give you some sort of perspective. I need help talking me back into the world not ending right now before I go back in here, you know?
Yeah.
For real.
This is something that's helped me in the past. If it gets really bad, if the client is, if Murphy's Law is happening and I'm spilling my fucking rinse cup and this ink's not going in the way it's supposed to, I'll take a little break and I'll reset up. Just start over again. You know what I mean? Like, get rid of the fucking lap cloth, set up a whole new station. We make money. We can afford it. And it's going to mentally reset you because you're physically seeing something. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So you got this nice clean lap cloth, clean ink caps, a new needle. Maybe it's working better, whatever. Maybe when you pick that needle out that you thought was for the client, maybe you got it wrong that day for some reason, you know?
Mm.
I think sometimes symbolically stuff like that maybe can at least help trigger something starting a little fresh.
Mm-hmm. You know? I like that ritual. Just the act of physically doing that can cause a mental shift.
And also try to bring comedy into the situation. Like we all have fun, right? Like, you know, you got this annoying client, just try to fucking rib on each other and or talk about some funny story with your coworker to just get yourself out of that headspace. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. And that's good. Something else to fall back on. Now, this is situational because we're all different. But to basically fall back on your why, one of your whys. So I'd say at least where we're at, gentlemen, aren't we blessed that we get to be selective about who and what pieces we're taking on, right?
Yeah.
So the chances on whatever tattoo you're doing next week is at least one that you approve of and created, right?
Yeah,
so exactly. At least we're lucky that we're not in the beginning stages of still having to deal with everyone and anyone. We've worked and built through to where now we can attract our ideal client.
It doesn't feel like a 9-to-5.
That's right.
So
I just wanted to start off with like, hey, on our bad days and going in to do a tattoo, we're already lucky than a lot because we've already pre-qualified the person through your discovery and call. You realized it is a fit. You're down with a piece, all that. You're not going in to work on some bullshit because you just needed the money, right? Because there's a lot of tattooers that are still in that game, which is what we help them grow into that next phase. So even when the stars are aligned on the piece, you were stoked about this piece. So it's not them that you're having this bad day. It's your own personal shit. So what I'm getting at is going back into your why. So if you're really into your piece and you know it's going to be sick, you want to do it, even if you remind yourself your why on that piece. Me personally, my why's to pull me out of it, I have to take it to that human being, regardless of the piece I'm doing on them. Even if I'm really stoked about the piece may not be enough to pull me out of it. I have to realize I'm in my own shit. Because when we're in our own shit, fuck you and your problems. We forget about you. You don't, I'm going through it right now, right? And that's evidence I literally will realize, hey, I'm being selfish. And I need to realize, I put myself in their shoes. For all we know, they saved up every last dollar to be sitting in our chair today because we're not cheap. And they may have been saving their tip money the past whole fucking year. They listened to their favorite song on the way here. They're nervous as fuck. They're excited. They've been waiting on this for months now. And today's finally their day. And on top of that, for me to get to know who they are, what they're going through, because I guarantee they're going through some shit too. Mm-hmm. And this day is their one day of release from it. Their one day of distraction, their escape. The world out there, and it's got them feeling fucked. They get one day of like refuge to come and sit in our chair to for therapy to let that world go away. There may be in some pain. Let's feel a different kind of pain right now, whatever. And me getting to know them, know their heart, maybe some of their struggles, what they're battling with, can pull me out of my own shit for a minute. And my why will cross over into I was committed to getting to be a blessing to this person. The universe selected me as the vessel. No matter what's going on with me, I still got to realize that I get to show up in this moment despite myself. Despite I'm in an argument with my sweetheart and it's fucking taking me out of the game because I can't compartmentalize, boom, I got to find another why, another reason, even if it's to remind myself of the original why, which this is still about them. Mm-hmm. You know, something.
Yeah, love that. Yeah.
To help me fucking get out of it.
Yeah, I think the point you said of, you know, turning a got to into a get to, that's yes. really smart. You know what I mean? And that'll, you know, that'll kind of take you out of that element as well. Yeah,
and you
yeah,
know, well said. Gratitude is a big one because I've roofed houses for $9 an hour, you know, dope sick. Yeah. And today I'm a receiver of a pretty large sum of money to do my art that I get to create on another living, breathing human that could very well outlast me. And absolutely. I'm a part of their life forever. Like there's going to be a point where they have their grandkids on their lap and they're going to ask them about that tattoo mm-hmm. and they're going to talk about that real handsome guy.
That's right. Anything you can do to create, make your why bigger than your current circumstances,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that don't always work. That's just an option that helps me. What pulls me out is people, not our craft, you know, because as important as this tattoo is to me, like you just said, the fact that this tattoo may outlive me and see grandchildren that I never meet, it's connected to this person's life and their legacy. Now my legacy is attached to that, you know, whatever I can think of to at least get over out of my own shit. Cause guess what? When that 8 hours is up, our own shit will still be there waiting on us. The difference is,
right.
Did I make it fucking 10 times worse these 8 hours?
Man.
And you could cut the uncomfortability with a knife and creating an experience, like you said, Josh. And we know these things, but it's harder to sometimes do it in the thick of it,
man.
Right?
Yeah, dude. There, we had a coworker that you could feel like when they would come in, like the just atmosphere would change.
Mm. And, oh, absolutely, absolutely.
It was like
permeating. You could cut it. Talk about seeing the unseen, and even though you couldn't see it, boy, you could feel it. Now we got people protecting themselves from someone they shouldn't have to be.
I used to work with an artist and he would come in like that and the whole shop would just immediately, it was like he had flies just dripping off of him to the point that he'd walk around going, and I was finally like, dude, just go home. Just go home. And he's like, why? And I'm like, look at you. And he didn't even know he was doing it. Mm. He just was the weight of the whatever was going on in his life. Yeah. He was bringing it in the shop and man, you know, I feel all of that stuff on a stronger level than a lot of people anyway. And I think a lot of artists do. Yeah. And like you said, you could cut it with a knife. You know what I mean? It's like,
and so can clients can feel it too. And the client already was scared and they're excited. Yeah. You know, and this is
like they have so
day.
Much in their head. This, you know, that's why clients act weird when you know when you say, "Okay, stand, relax, so I can put their stencil on." And they're like, you know what I mean? It's like, and we sit here and laugh about it, but then when we get tattooed, we fucking turn into that shit too because we're nervous. When I went to get tattooed by Dennis Savak, he's like, "Sit in my chair," and I'm like, "I forgot how to sit down like a human being." You know what I mean? Is it like this? Do I dive into it? You know,
you sit on his armrest.
My arms.
Wait,
I sit on his armrest.
What chair? That one,
you know, it's like the stupid question. Oh, so stencil stuff. Yeah, I use that too. Yeah, you know, what the fuck? You know, needles are pretty cool and sharp.
is it gonna hurt?
Right. So everybody's in their own headspace, and so you know, you do have to understand that this is their time. And to celebrate that moment and to turn the have to into get to. I think that's I think that might just be the answer, Matt. You know, at least the start of it. You know,
Totally. And you know, I want to go back to like when you were asking me about like a deposit. You had actually brought up something that rung a bell with me, and it's like, you know, my deposit is bigger, but also with that comes a greater responsibility at least on my end, I may feel that. And I imagine the client does too, but the expectation of like, well, if I'm giving this dude $1,000 up front, even if our prices are the same because the deposit is greater, automatically the expectation is greater. And the it's just it's more on your plate to really to show up and play ball.
That's right. And that's one reason why we put value on ourselves, because the dude that undervalues himself has the escape to kind of just go through the motions. They only paying me $350 for this anyways. The motherfucker that charged $3,000 knows I better fucking show up with my A game to make this worth $3,000, whatever. It does. It calls everyone to a higher standard.
Yeah. Yeah. Valuing my time has always been interesting for me. My father used to tell me, you know, I'd tell him how much I made for a tattoo or a painting, and he would always say, but what did you pay yourself for your time? And I'd be like, oh no, it's just all inclusive. And I never understood that. I never really got that. You know what I mean? But it's so important to understand your own self-worth, you know?
Yes. Yep. In the whole world, not just tattoo artists, I feel like undervalues themselves. We all do. You're admitting you still do. Gauge to what, you know? But yeah, if I ever get in a debate with someone over value, I'm arguing that you're more valuable than what you think, you know, meaning I can't stand the guys.
Yeah, see, and I have that artist curse thing.
Yeah.
I was just saying, I have that artist curse thing. So we could be at dinner together and you could be telling me that. And while you're saying it in my head, I'm like, yeah, look at this fucking bullshit. You know what I mean? I'm not even hearing you say it because I'm already tearing myself down.
Right.
You know?
So again, another way to help lead you to a breakthrough in that area is making it not about you, since you're not able to, because I feel like it's a form of self-love. It's easier for me to love on him than myself sometimes, right?
Exactly.
And so if to get there, if you make it about Nicole and your children and other reasons, because at the end of the day, since the time is the one, we can make more money. We can't make more time. Right. And so when you're saying yes to the one person you're tattooing today, you are simultaneously saying no to Nicole and your children and all these other people. When we say yes to something, we're saying no to everything else. And to me, that puts a little more value on it. You're going to throw my loved ones in on it. And I'm basically saying no to my children today because I said yes to you. That helps at least bring in another a variable on making your time valuable, let alone all the years of the blood, sweat, and tears that we have put in just to be able to get to be able to do what we're about to do today. You know,
man, I'm learning a lot today. Mm-hmm. I like that.
You hire a painting crew to come paint your house. Let's say you got an old brick house or whatever, right? And there's a crew of five, and you hired them to paint it. But before they get around to painting it, they're out there a half day and they're fucking scraping all this old. Then they're pressure washing it. Then they're masking and taping off. They're doing all this prep. Now, they still haven't lifted a paintbrush yet or a roller. There's no new paint on, but they've been doing a whole day worth of prep. Five dudes prepping it. The contractor's already billing us for this paint job, even though paint hasn't gone on the house yet. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm waiting to be billed and they do all this prep because it's my house. It's your arm. This is your piece. I'm doing it for you. All this prep, this pre-production, the research, all the time I'm putting into your piece, whatever, has to be considered valuable time too. Now, however you include that in the price is on you, but my God, consider it. Then when the paint finally gets on the home, that's not when he started billing me. I've been billed for the whole process. That's just normal. And it's the same with us. Again, you get to decide what that is to you, but those are things to consider, really how much of your time is going in that you're giving and sharing with this one human being today. And it all matters. Yeah. And it's beautiful when we put value on it. It's recognizing the beauty of all that's involved in the 30 years it took me to get here just to meet you. We can celebrate the beauty the whole time and it's all valuable. You know, and the number we attach to it is just a sliver of evidence to the beauty that we're acknowledging is happening in this moment.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, because like I said, just, you know, really like almost in this moment, am I realizing how little I do value my own time, you know? And yeah. I've always kind of wondered, and I wonder what you guys and our listeners do that are tattooing. Like, do you charge from the moment you tattoo to the moment you stop? Do you charge for stencil prep? Do you do the stencil at home the night mm-hmm. before and still charge for it? Like, mm-hmm. you know, yep. where does the line go sometimes, you know?
That's a great question, and it's different. It's situational. So we got guys that are at aisle nine that are still hourly, and if they got 2 hours of prep, they're billing those 2 hours as well. But it's clearly communicated to the client.
Yeah, as long, I guess that's the answer is communication. Yeah,
that's yeah, right. Man. Always knowing who you are and how you operate and getting all that out on the front end. Now, we can't ever say exactly how long anything's going to take, but we can give you rough windows, right?
Yeah.
But then if you want to remove yourself, I felt for me a level of freedom was pretending clocks no longer existed, and so oh, yeah, none absolutely. Of my pricing yeah. is ever attached really to time, even though it's considered because of everything I just shared. But mm-hmm. guys like Hip and I, we just have a flat all day rate, and everything's included, our prep work, our pre-production, everything, just for this one flat rate. We realize it keeps it easy. If you want to work with us and sit in our chair for today, it's just a flat rate. Whatever we got to do to be able to serve them on that day is what we fucking do. So it's all included. To me, that's simpler than trying to like quantify every little fucking hour, whether I did it at home, 2 hours at work, whatever. But right. both can work well once you decide, define, know it through and through, and be able to properly convey and communicate that. So they know what they're signing up for. It works.
And, you know, you just said to serve them.
Come on.
And it just had me remember, you know, there was a lady traveling some distance to come see me. And first and foremost, when she got there, it was her first tattoo. She was following suit, nervous as possible as could be, which I often forget because it's my daily job. I forget that people actually walk into tattoo shops and are nervous because right. I think I'm nervous because I'm meeting you for the first time, but I'm in my house. So I have to be empathetic with that. And she just wasn't feeling it. And like, I went to the drawing table and sent her off to Panera. She come back. Matt felt it. And he stepped in, right? Because with a true team, we're able to like build value for each other. So he basically told this chick in a loving, caring way, why the fuck did you pick this dude? And let her say, well, because, you know, in her mind, I was the best around. And he said, then let it be that. And she was like, oh my God. And she felt this weight was lifted. Well, I'm already in a funk because, you know, Murphy's Law, it's that client. So I'm doing the tattoo and, I told her before she went to Panera that basically like there's going to be less tattoo time because I'm having to like go in and redraw this shit. And she was cool with that. So I communicated on the front end,
which was real powerful. She knew what she signed up for. There was a alteration, a Y in the road that she asked. Basically, he had to redesign the whole tattoo, and he, even though on the inside he was like dealing with his own feels on frustration, he communicated, of course, I'll redesign this 100 times, but the day, this is your date, the day rate's still the same. And even if we only get to do 4 hours of tattooing versus the 8, because I'm spending these 4 redesigning it, you know, he recommunicated the tab's still the tab. And right. she was okay with that. And they mm-hmm. were able to move forward instead of weirdness on the back end. She'd be like, well, you only tattooed me. He communicated and then re-communicated.
Yeah. So
kept the power.
So Matt basically talked her off a cliff. She was at peace, which is where I like my clients to be at. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I'm doing the tattoo, fighting my own internal battles, and it's coming out great, but I'm still fighting my own internal battles because like I'm pissed. I'm like, you know, that it's like, bitch, I'm the artist. I know how to design tattoos. Don't show up trying to be a professional fucking art designer. So I had to let that go. And once it got to the full day mark, I was able then to break and be like, look, we're at our spot, but because I'm feeling this, I'm just going to go ahead and finish it. And I went the extra mile now. To give her a full day rate still. So the ball was left in my court for me to now build more value and bless her on top of that. And not only that, but Matt knew I was in the funk. So this motherfucker gets a gold tray, cuts apples, and slices and cuts little hearts in them and comes fucking walking out serving them apples. And right. that lit him up. And he just like stayed in the game with me and completely like made those women melt. And it was a 2-day session. So she came back the next day. And like, there's actually a video on my Instagram of a girl that her brother died from an overdose. And we kind of tell her story in the video, kind of honoring her and her family and her journey and her tattoo. And it just turned out to be like a big blessing in disguise that came ugly yep. and fucked up. And it's just like when those times suck, dude, it's applicable in every area of my life. Be of service to other people somehow or another. Or if you can't be of service to other people, be around a team that can be of service for you to like spark the fire and get the ball rolling again and everyone getting on the same page.
And not only did you have breakthrough with her, but with yourself dealing with her. Because now you like her, right?
Oh, yeah.
And she was just back again, what, last week? For more? Or recently, she was back again from that day.
It's been a couple months ago.
Yeah. Okay. But she basically, is it safe to say she actually turned into what you consider one of your ideal clients?
Oh, yeah. And
but I'm, on the front end, it sure did. You was ready to fucking throw it out. And yeah. Sometimes it's worth the fight in the beginning. There's still something there. Let's not throw in the towel too soon.
And the greater aspect of that is like now she's basically, you could call her a true collector. And Aisle 9 has done the prep work on the front end to now if she shops around and finds a good artist that she likes and wants to fly out to fucking Eugene or go to Austin, Texas.
You're welcome.
Right. Hey, you guys can send tips to my Cash App.
But she knows how things go now.
Yeah.
Because of what we've brought her through. But at the same time, the lessons you learned in that, and I don't think you would have been able to learn those lessons if you had just allowed yourself to be taken out of the game and just went through the motions, been like, fuck it, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. And which a lot of, you know, tattoo shops still fall in that. And I can't tell you how many times that we get clients that the tattoo shop or the artist was having a bad day and they were just disgusted and came to us. And because like we put effort into not letting it show, that speaks volumes to people. And you can always tell if they've had a bad experience or the tattoo artist was not having their best day because they can tell you what tattoo shop they went to or around the area it was at, but they can't remember the name of the artist. Damn it. I tell you, if a motherfucker gets tattooed by Hip, they'll tell you that Hip did the tattoo 10 years from now because right. of the way I make right. them feel.
Yeah. Right. And that's part of that experience I was talking about, like kind of selling the entire experience.
Mm-hmm. Man. And it's all because of predecessors like you that I get to learn from. I remember there was a point in time where I thought all you fucking big dogs were fucking dickheads. And come to find out, you're just a bunch of sweethearts, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are always like, man, I thought when I would meet you, you'd be an asshole. And like, I wouldn't like you. I hear that all the fucking time, mm-hmm. you know? But you did touch on something else, Matt.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, you guys touched on something else. The fact that Matt cut those apples up and like kind of came in and helped you, like that's if you've got the kind of shop that can help your bad day, that's a good problem solver right there. You know what I mean? He was in on it with you.
Always.
You had, you know, like always.
We need each other.
Right. Exactly. So like he was able to be your wingman of sorts on that situation. So that's pretty powerful right there. You know,
it's a golden rule at our shop. No matter what the fuck's going on, when your client shows up, you introduce them to three people that work there. So they start to feel like family. And anytime you walk over and watch somebody tattoo, even if you don't know what the fuck it is, you still are like, dope, I fucking love that. And then at the end of the tattoo, you bring it around and celebrate it with everyone because it is a celebration.
Yeah, I always do that in my shop. I've only got one other person, but we always take our work into that room and politely, hey, do you mind if I show you this? And, you know, the client sees it and it's just like a little mini celebration and everybody loves that too. Yep. And it's real too, you know what I mean? Because I don't show the tattoo off until I'm ready to celebrate it. Right. I might hit myself up to the last second and then finally go, whoo, I can tattoo. Okay, one more day. All right. And then I'll celebrate it, you know, but we always share it.
Yeah, we're king of the dad jokes too. So like if you were to come in and be like, hey, you mind if I show you this? I'd be like, no, I'm cool.
Right.
Or I'll slide your client a card and midway through the tattoo. I'll be like, hit me up and I'll fix that when it heals.
Right.
Yeah, that's good shit, man. That's real good shit.
Man, you know, like I know the topic was bad days, but we've hit and jumped around on a lot of things, all I feel like pertaining to a bad day or could possibly lead to a bad day, man. You know what I love about this is like we start off with some bullshit and we end with solutions, I feel, you know, and I think solutions are key to everything. Like, I can't tell you how many times since we've started this that I keep hearing communication is key. Or like, I know that to be factual, but hearing one of you two say it again, and I'm like, damn it, they're right. Communication is key. I completely forgot that. Mm-hmm. And I just appreciate that.
You can get permission from anybody, you know what I mean? From anyone. So sometimes for me personally, you know, I think I've learned more from this particular podcast today than I have in all of them combined. Wow. So, I'm leaving today with some really, really good things to think about. I'm going to make some changes in my scheduling and my pricing and my deposits. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thank you both for that very much. But, you know, yeah, it's the same thing. It's like, yeah, I know that, but it's just, I needed to hear it from somebody else that I respect to move forward.
Yeah. And, you know, so many people that are uncomfortable around this thing called sales, right? It's a yucky word thrown, and everyone has these preconceived notions of what that even means, you know, and no one likes to be sold or no one likes when someone's being salesy. And if you're a tattoo artist out there and you're like, you feel salesy, then it's probably because you are. And so quit it, because that's ain't got shit to do with it. So a different framework just to really help you get settled once and for all what sales is. And here's it is. Say, because the people that don't like sales usually have a bigger heart for people. They think sales is like yuck or manipulating somebody. And those people are like, I'm a giver. You know, I just want to give to people. I want to do the best tattoo I can get. You know what I'm saying? Sales is service. So if you don't like this thing called sales, just remove it from your vocabulary and think to yourself, I'm not in sales. I'm all about serving people to the fullest. You know, they say things like, hey, under promise and over deliver. We over promise and then over deliver on that. We're serving. But one reason why we can do that is because we got ourselves squared away first. I already know who I am, how I operate, who I'm taking on, and why I'll say yes to you and no to my family. That's all settled. Serving myself has been settled. So now I know who the fuck I am. Now I can fully focus on serving you. And that is sales, but it's service.
And you just made me think of something, right? The next time if I get twisted up on sales and I relate it to service.
Yes.
Thank God I'm not a fucking undertaker, because you know how hard it would be to sell like a coffin to a family they lost a baby. Like talk about,
but if they need one and that's the service you provide, then you can join them in your condolences and provide what they came asking you for.
Well, I'm just saying on a, like a level of gratitude, like, you know, if we're selling our artwork,
man,
and being the artist that's just scared to like put proper value on themselves.
That's
like
right.
At least you ain't got to sell them a coffin for a dead fucking family member.
Perspective.
Perspective. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, man. That'd be rough.
Yeah, man. You know, when we were talking about bad days, and again, because here's the thing, guys, we all have had them, And like you said, there's another one with our name on it coming down the pike.
Yep.
It's not a if, it's a when. But who do we become in the moment, you know? And good news is, I'm sure the universe will continue to give us a lot of fucking practice, Adam. You know, saying if you feel like you messed up that last bad day, you hold tight. You're going to get another shot to practice, right?
Right, right.
And talk about communication, even communicating with ourselves and be self-aware, whatever you got to do so that you can serve them to the degree that you committed to and that they're hoping to get, all of that, right? And shout out to beautiful older black man that is a mentor of mine, Michael Maxwell. I love Michael Maxwell. And he always used to tell me and my twin brother Todd this thing. His motto is always be ready. You never know. But if you're ready, then when you get called on, you ain't got to get ready. If you ain't got time to get ready, if you're just always ready, you'll be ready. You know, and he just lived by that. And I appreciated that. Even in the midst of his own shit or bad days, when he's called upon, when it's time, he's ready. We were at a big seminar. We were in Anaheim, California. Mr. Maxwell was just sitting two seats behind me. We were at a huge event. There's thousands of people there. People on stage talking, and for whatever reason, he wasn't supposed to be a main speaker, but the main speaker on stage brought something up about Michael Maxwell and all of a sudden called him up. Mind you, 30 seconds before this moment, I looked over my shoulder and Michael Maxwell is asleep in the chair, just like sawing log, you know, no shit. And they call on this motherfucker's name, all of a sudden he's like, you know, he fucking gets up, runs straight up that stage, grabs a microphone, and just drops fire.
Nice.
Now, he wasn't ready fucking 1 minute ago where he didn't look like it. He was asleep, but he was ready. And I'm so inspired by that. And I'm reminded, like, even when I get my own shit, to be more like Michael Maxwell and to be ready in spite of my own ass not feeling like it is something to practice, at least to take on. And I'm not there yet.
It's definitely one of those things that's like easier said than done. Like it's easy to sit here and say, we can do this. We can do
that's right.
You know, but it takes time. It takes practice. Like you're going to fail at it. You're going to get better at it. We're all going to have bad days.
That's right.
You know, but but as long as we're working on them, you know, so we're working to solve this problem. Like we're all about solutions here, you know?
Yeah. And okay. And I'll take it a step further because we're just talking about to tattooers across the board right now. Now, when you're in a leadership role, when you're a leader, shop owner, or a dad, then it almost feels like you're not allowed to have them.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Everyone's expecting on you. You're supposed to be the strong one. When we fall apart, you're the one that's supposed to remind us how to fucking stay together, right? So even further, when you're in a leadership role, it's harder to have bad days or even the responsibility, because the responsibility don't go away. It's not just your commitment to that one client today. It's your commitment to the whole fucking house, the whole, you know. Yeah. And so on one hand, the degree of feeling like no matter what I'm going through, I still got to be strong and what I can't have a bad day or take it out on them. Well, guess what? I'm still fucking human. So on the flip side of that, and something I've been growing into and practicing as a leader to be vulnerable is to give myself room and it be okay if and when I am having a bad day, instead of me trying to pretend like I don't, to flip it around and to admit it to everyone that, guys,
be vulnerable.
I'm fucking struggling to gain more respect than the times I'm just trying to like be strong. And he's helped me grow in that area to be able to admit like I'm struggling today.
Yeah.
And there's power in that too.
Yeah. I think sometimes strong leaders don't realize the power that they actually have on the people around them, the impact. I remember one of my absolute best friends was just going through it. This life was just throwing him everything. And he called me and he's like, man, it's weird to say this, but I'm just kind of waiting for you to fix this for me. Because, you know, I had in the past, I have solutions and ideas that he hasn't thought of. And he's like, I just waiting for you to fix this, I guess. And I don't mean to put that on you. And I was like, wow, I didn't even realize, you know, which made me try harder to help him solve his problems,
of course,
the best I could. But sometimes you just don't realize the impact you actually have on people. And that impact, to a lesser degree, can happen from your clients. Now, if you're having that bad day, you're impacting them in a negative way, or you could make that experience amazing. They're already going to get an amazing tattoo, right?
That's right.
But what if they go home and they're like, man, aisle 9 was amazing. Like, Matt is so fucking awesome talking about calling his needles paintbrushes to make me feel better. And, you know, these little tiny things add up at the end of the day and make it for a way better experience. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. And back to that communication thing, because it's not, we know we're going to have bad days. It's who we become and how do we communicate that in the midst of it, even if it's like being so vulnerable and authentic to be like, man, I'm struggling, but that ain't going to like alter what we're doing here, but I'm vulnerable enough to let you know I'm fucking feeling the human experience, whatever beauty can come out of that,
right,
by just communicating, you know, but that's knowing when and with whom and when not to, you know, and all that good stuff.
Yeah. It's all a balance. It's all a fine balance.
Yes. And really the only reason why I brought that up was for anyone out there, you feel like you're not allowed to have any because you're overseeing somebody. And I've learned that you are allowed to have it. And if you tell your own people that you are, the bond grows deeper because now you're admitting you two are human.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like Hip was saying, you know what I mean? He like was so surprised that I would be somebody that would have confidence issues. I hear that constantly. And it's like, I'll start my seminars out with that and people will kind of chuckle like I'm starting with a joke. And it's like, no, I'm fucking real serious, you know?
Man.
But I think that's also part of my success in my career, you know, is I'm able to be open and honest with people. So
yeah, love that.
And I said a couple of weeks ago, I just recently purchased the Reinventing the Tattoo subscription. And just kind of sitting over and going over the videos, because there's actually so much in this subscription and app, but Guy is very, very, he's full of humility, you know? And like, he shows like vulnerable sketches or like thumbnails. And when he's collabing with someone, like he gives them props and he lets you know that he's intimidated, or how well they've done something. And I just appreciate that because I've heard that dude's name before I even thought about tattooing.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be able to go. I'm thinking it was at least 15, if not 20 years ago. I went to they roasted him at a convention and, you know, and it was hilarious, but everybody had these beautiful anecdotal stories of things that he's impacted their lives in a positive way. And it's like, it's like that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. You know what I mean? Mm. Like he probably didn't know that he'd impacted people so much, you know, and it was really an amazing experience. And I really hope that in my time, when it comes to my end of my career, that I'm remembered as somebody who impacted people's lives in a positive manner like that. That it doesn't get much better than that, right?
I will totally host your roast, Josh.
Nice. Yep.
And I'll conduct your funeral.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, he's been going up and down the steps a lot more lately. So.
How have you been stepping up some exercise a little bit more?
No, thanks for bringing it up, Hip. Yeah, man, Josh, I wish I could have answered that differently, but no, so maybe next week.
I don't know if I mentioned this to you guys last time, but I got an electric bike recently.
Dude, Megan showed me that, and I'm like, what the fuck?
It is unbelievable. It looks like a little motorcycle.
It does. It looks bitching, dude. It took me back to 1984.
Yes. So you can use throttle and go about 35 miles an hour, 33 miles an hour. Which honestly is pretty fucking fast on a bike like that. And you can put two people on it. I zip around with Nikki on the back of it. But what's awesome is that I live way up in the hills, like steep ass hills. And you can pedal anytime you want, but with pedal assist, different levels of pedaling. So I'll go out for an hour and still get a really good workout. I'm not just riding a motorcycle around. I'm pedaling to kind of, it's like me and the power together. It's the best thing I bought in fucking years. I fucking love it so much. Mm-hmm. I love it. So I highly recommend, if you can turn exercise into fun, it ain't nothing funner than fucking riding around with a girl on the back of your bike. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. That's and they look cool. You saw how cool it looked.
Yeah. You know what? I take that back, guys, because I'm getting my Fitbit out because I got a 2-year-old and an 8-year-old and a 16-year-old. But my 2-year-old's in that mode. she fucking wants to take off. And we, luckily in my neighborhood, we've got a pond with a walking. I ain't got no excuses. Hip and I walked around the pond. We walk around it 2.5 times. That's a mile, right? So anyways, but dude, if I wished the past 2 days I'd have had a Fitbit on, because I guarantee you, I went fucking 3 miles with my 2-year-old. You know, once she wants to run everywhere, I'm chasing. And for real, since it's because my wife didn't want to do it because it's not like a uniform, we go around 2 times and clock that. I'm thinking if I just put that fucker on, I'd be curious how
many steps I do. You'd be shocked how many steps you actually take in a day. Yeah. And you could go and one up one and get the Apple Watch and connect with me and Josh, and then we can hold you accountable when we're not on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
I too bought myself a new gravel bike for my 8-year anniversary.
Did you really? Awesome.
I've been out riding the shit out of it.
Yeah, until he calls me to come pick him up.
Yeah, he did. He had to pick me up.
He went hard. You went hard.
See,
though.
And that's where the electric bike comes in, because I can just be like, yeah. Because, you know, yeah, you'll see me at Evergreen. I'll fucking be riding that bitch around.
Fuck yeah.
That's awesome. That's so good, man. Jeez, but just talking about it, like right now, like, If any of us was in having a bad day before we sat down and had this talk, just talking to a brother can help, right? Exactly. And that's why if you don't have a coworker next to you to help you to step out and call your lifeline, someone that does is not only okay, but I would say needed.
Absolutely. Always. Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. You know, getting to just kind of hang out with some friends, getting to laugh a little bit, getting to hear somebody else's problems and someone else's day. It just, you know, just takes you away from that. Yeah, like Hip said, you're going to go home, and if your problems are big enough, they're still going to be there.
Yeah.
But you didn't take it to work with you. You didn't, you know.
Yeah.
You didn't interject that into your client's life, and you know that gave you $1,000 fucking deposit.
Yeah. Right. You know? That's right. Yeah.
And that's just creating more problems when you do that.
Yeah. Yeah. A really smart artist that I know said to you know, work slower to work faster. It kind of reminds me of that when you talked about cutting corners, and then suddenly you've got a couple more corners. You know, if you slow down and you add that extra time to it, even if it feels like you're going really slow, you're actually making the tattoo better. Therefore, you're making your job easier.
Mm-hmm. You know? Side note, something just popped in my head, because in the times when we weren't having a bad day until this tattoo started not going the way I wanted it to, now all of a sudden I'm having a bad day because I'm not pulling off the way I wanted to pull it off. Mm-hmm. But even in that moment, you got to hide that from your client. You don't want to devalue it from your client. Right.
Yeah.
If there ain't shit you can do about it, or you're struggling, you're trying, you got to remember, you know, the last thing, your client's still stoked. You still want to celebrate. Like, there ain't shit they can do about it. You know, because the guys that'll kind of show that and be like, you know, let me know when that heals. I might do a follow up. Even if I know it's going to need a follow up, I need a second shot at it. I will build value about that follow up, not because I need to fix this shit. You know,
That matters. I'm excited to hit the white again, or I'm excited to blur this edge out.
And Jeff Godway actually taught me the words follow up and taught me to remove the words touch up from my vocabulary, because people think free touch up. But if you cross over into a follow up, you can still attach value to that. And so we don't use the word touch ups. It's a follow-up, and you know as well as I do, when we're working on someone's skin, whether it's their skin not taking it well, or I know I'm having an off, I know it's going to need a follow-up. Keeping yourself in the authority role and telling them, and Godway puts it like this, I know this tattoo's epic, and I know you love it, but I want it to be world-class, and so we're going to let this heal, and I'd love to bring you back for a follow-up to ensure the integrity of this being world-class forever. You're happy with this, just wait till the follow-up.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. I always tell my clients, and I truly mean it, I want people to look at your tattoo. I want you to be at the grocery store, and you're paying, and you reach your arm out, and they're like, holy fuck, I did not even know a tattoo could look like that.
Yes.
Fuck money, that's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
And that follow-up is part of that, and they'd love it. They're like, man, it's already amazing, and he wants to do more? Mm-hmm. Wow. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's real good.
Yeah, it's amazing what changing language can do. You know what I mean? Especially, too, like a lot of shops will be like, free touch-ups. Mm-hmm. I've had people come in for their free touch-up, and they didn't need it. They're just like, well, I don't know, it's free, and you said So you just mm-hmm. I'll just hit the white in the eyes again or something. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But not that I never have to do touch-ups, but I do believe in that language for sure. Calling it follow-up, absolutely. Calling it a discovery call, calling it a courtesy call.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. You know.
Yeah. Good, good shit, man. Real good shit. And that's us holding our power for them, for their sakes, in the midst of our own struggle, whether it's, man, I'm not pulling this off. I was so stoked to do this portrait, and it's just not fucking punching like I know it should. But the last person that needs to know I feel that way is the client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what happens with that, too, is you get so caught up in your own head that it's not punching the way that it should. And then simple solutions like, oh, man, if I would have changed machines or pulled my needle back, I would have got smoother shading. You don't even things you know how to do.
Yeah.
You forget because you're just mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You brought that bad day with you and you're just mad. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, hip walks by and go, hey, man, pull your needles back. You'll get smoother shading. And you're like, oh, yeah, fuck. I knew that. I've been tattooing fucking ever. You
know? yes. Ooh. You ever see the documentary film came out years ago called I Am?
No.
Man, it's a good one. I think a lot of people skipped over it because of who the film producer is, because it's the guy that made all the slapstick movies like Dumb and Dumber and Ace Ventura and Big Mama's House and real slapstick comedy. And so I think most people that were like, if you're not into fucking slapstick comedy, you probably wouldn't want this documentary. But it was powerful because this dude got in a bike accident and hit his head so bad, was in so much pain, he just wanted to die. And he got to a point of suicide. And he decided before killing himself, one last thing he decided to do was grab a small camera crew and go interview folks trying to discover the meaning of life, because his is over with anyways. Wow. And in that process, man, and it was so funny because he was talking to like spiritual gurus and people. None of these motherfuckers, they didn't know who he was. They didn't even know his movies. Like, yeah, you probably know me from a movie called Ace Ventura. They're like, Ace who? Like, you know.
Right.
But it was fucking awesome. But the movie I Am, the documentary is real, real powerful. And I think it's, topical for even this discussion, even though I just forgot why I even brought it up.
it sounds like something I love documentaries and I love that style. So I'll definitely be checking it out for sure. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Awesome.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
It's good. There's a reason. I'll think of it maybe, 10 episodes from now.
right. We'll be in the middle of something important. You'll be like, wait a minute.
That's right. Man. Hip, thanks for bringing this discussion to us tonight. I appreciate you.
Yeah, man.
And this was birthed out of, we should might as well just tell our viewers, we got together and tried to record a episode last week and just bombed so bad. We were all having bad days. Our tanks were empty and we tried anyways. I mean, I commend us for trying.
I think Hip used the word that he was pissy, which I love picturing that.
Yeah. like I'm taking my ball and going home. And
right.
Not only that, but we had Matt's twin brother on, which is, he's a sweetheart too. And it just got real heady. And like, what I mean by that is like, we went down some rabbit holes. And anytime you talk with those two dudes, like you're going on a journey. And I'm in self-pityville, so I'm not trying to fucking be spiritual and all that bullshit. Right. Like, I just want to sit here and frown at the camera. But what was birthed out of that, and I sent it in our group text, we learned a lot of lessons, or someone said that, because whenever anybody's like, well, I took an L, it's like L is actually a lesson, So a lot was birthed out of that. We stayed here and bickered till like 4 a.m.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, you texted me and you're like, we just finished. And I'm like, what the fuck? Nikki was like, Nikki, it woke her up when I said that. And she goes, that's too long.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy when you're like having an off day and you're fucking pissy and we're trying harder and just make shit worse, and it'll be the longest podcast we ever, in the shittiest one.
Like, man.
Jeez, yeah, man.
Maybe we can send that one out to get sponsored by Energizer Battery.
right.
But yeah, it sparked, and I feel like tonight was fire, dude. I enjoyed it, and something was birthed out of that bad showing last week. And even then, we can look back at it and just kind of rejoice in the fact that, you know, these are growing pains, and that's why they're called growing pains, because you got to go through a little bit to grow.
That's right. Absolutely. You guys know I love scripture and I love quotes or anything like that. And so here's one from Napoleon Hill that's topical tonight. One of the surest ways to find happiness for yourself is to devote your energies toward making someone else happy. Happiness is an elusive, transitory thing. If you set out in search of it, you will find it evasive. But if you try to bring happiness to someone else, then it comes to you.
There you go. Absolutely.
I'm more of a fan of Napoleon Dynamite myself.
Come on, man. That boy can dance.
Gosh. There's lessons there.
There is. Fuck yeah. But yeah, and I just took that, like, you know how you're always saying, let's lose ourselves in the service of others. Man, I don't like my own shit. Let me find someone else, even the struggle, and I can help them for a minute. And by trying to bring someone else happiness, then happiness will come find you.
Every fucking time.
But man, like you said, easier said, when you're in the midst of your own shit, you're like, fuck yeah. Everyone, right? Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah.
That's the thing, like, is, fuck, you know, that, I'm pissy.
Yeah, I'm going to put my shirt off, motherfuckers. Yeah. Let me just be pissy.
Yeah, man. And that's okay, too.
Yeah.
Just not to pitch a tent and fucking camp out there forever.
Right.
Yeah, I would say take a moment and own it. Take a moment and own where you're at. Go outside, smoke a cigarette or whatever. Own that moment, feel it, get through it, and then go to fucking work. Put your hat on and go to work, you know?
Man, come on. Come on.
Good episode, guys. Good episode.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Again, my Cash App's Hypno Tattoos.
Hell yeah.
I'm pretty bummed out that I don't see my sign hanging up back there that I sent you.
Oh, no shit.
I think it's still sitting at the shop. And I don't know if you can see, but we haven't got electrical outlets on yet.
Right, right. You should touch it.
Yeah. And that big tapestry that was here, you know, we were running a couple minutes behind because we hung up these lights, but we were going to hang the tapestry because it's framed now. Mm-hmm. So like, as you know, the humble beginnings, the studs to the drywall, to the electric, to the socket covers, to the recording sign, to the tapestry, like
the shelves, the furniture. We're still building, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for you listeners out there that are just listening on Spotify or whatever, you got to check us out on YouTube and watch the video as well.
Yeah.
Even if it's just to see Matt's glorious dreadlocks. They're pretty fucking impressive.
Yeah. Fucking logs.
Shout out to our brother Mike, who works so hard day in and day out every week to not only record us right now, he's a part of every episode, doing all the mixing, the mastering, the editing of the audio and the video.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mike. And we've got a competition coming up in the future of whoever can pronounce Mike's name correctly just might win something, but that'll be down the road.
Good luck with that. Whenever I'm sending my audio files over, I'm just like, Mike, somebody with a real fucked up oh, there it is. Okay, right there. I got it.
That's right. Yeah. But yeah, we appreciate you, Mike, big time.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Hip, I appreciate you. Josh, I appreciate you. Guys, thanks appreciate for showing up and playing full out every week with us. Mm-hmm. Whether we're having a good day or a bad one, here we are. And I appreciate you guys.
For sure. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, thanks.